You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
A chance for Brodin, and they score! Erickson up on the rebound, and the Wild tie it 1-1. The Freesaw fire scores! Back to the line for Merrill. Merrill shot scores! Brodin, fire scores! Out to the line, Brodin.
You know what that means?
You know what it means?
Get the flags.
Oh, boy, here it is.
Here we go.
Get the flags.
Look at that. See, this is the flag, so I can wave this with more enthusiasm. Not because I like the Wild more than the Wolves, but because the actual flag.
Number one in the Central. Number one in the West. And number one in our hearts. The top scoring team in the NHL, the Minnesota Wild.
There we go.
Come get some. That's right.
You want some? You want some of this? You want some of this? You want a taste?
You like how that tastes?
You like that?
You like how that tastes? We need a Dean Evason clip like this.
So I heard it all week long, right? 0-9 on Monday night.
You like that?
You like how this tastes?
Like how that tastes?
I like that.
Good news for you guys here on Mackie and Judd. Okay. Daily Minnesota sports celebration. The Hockey Whisperer has four observations on the current state of the Minnesota Wild.
Beautiful.
Would you like them 4 through 1 or 1 through 4?
Well,
With 2 and kind of skip around.
Well, how are they structured? Like, is 4 like, that's okay, and 1 is like, oh my God, I can't believe that is what a great observation?
I would say that three of them are positive. 1 is a question.
Okay,
I wouldn't say a concern. Maybe it's a concern, but do you want to start with the concern? No,
sure,
we'll leave that for the end. I don't want to.
As I said,
we're on a roll right now. I'm not going to start with the concern.
As I said to Dex on Judd's hockey show last night, the great thing right now is for like every complaint or concern, it's offset by 4 good things. That's the good thing,
and that's the ratio of the observations.
Exactly.
Here.
So see, it's all for the most part, it's incredibly positive.
Okay. So as we've done throughout the year here, the Hockey Whisperer trying to recalibrate things after having gone on a basketball vacation for a bit, he will throw out some observations about the Wild, and you guys have to tell him, okay, is that pretty honed? Is it spot on? Is the Hockey Whisperer in need of some calibration? Let's start with the first one here. This is, I think without hyperbole, the most dangerous offensive team in Wild history. Now, they statistically currently lead the NHL in goals. But even guys who don't traditionally score a lot of goals, like the Ryan Hartmans, Erickson Ek, like these guys are on pace for 30 goals this season. In fact, it's funny, like Fiala only has, 3 or 4 goals. Like at some point, you'd think that he's going to come around unless they trade him. There's like 5 guys that are on pace to either surpass or flirt with 30-ish goals. It just feels like whatever they're doing, spreading the love, just the depth of this team. I know that they've had, like, Gabarik was a big name, and they've had some goal scorers, and they have Parisi, the way that he went about it. But this feels like the most dangerous, deepest offensive team in Wild history. Is that hyperbole?
I don't think so. I would call it this, though. STS. Structure, because the structure is good. Trust, because they trust everyone, and systems. Structure, trust, and systems.
And okay, so, PJ Fleck.
Yeah,
so
men?
STS, well, at least I didn't end
men?
At least I didn't end with a D. Because that,
yeah,
that
that's what I thought you were, that's where I
that
thought you were trending.
Be good.
STDs.
Okay, and I could have said devotion or something, but it wouldn't have been that good. So STS
defense.
But for instance, last night on the score sheet, so like post game when you picked up the score sheet, you had 10 guys with points. Greenway didn't have a goal till last night. Last night, a goal and two assists. So I would say that there's two things. The Kaprizov component is incredibly important because he's, again, red hot now. He's doing great. But the other thing is they are taking guys, and if a guy is out, they move a guy up. Rem Pitlick, he's gone from like fourth line, third line, first line. And unlike the old days, nobody's there to say, why is he playing there? Do we really trust him there? Dino basically plugs them in and says, do your job. And because the players are emboldened, they do it. So Kaprizov is a starting point of like a game changer. But Dex, I think beyond that, to the Whisperer's point, I think the important thing here too is the level of trust that this team has in what's turning out to be good players to accomplish their job without the distrust of, oh boy, you are a fourth line guy, and I don't know if I should play with you.
I would say it's the deepest team they've probably had. I don't know if it's the most dangerous team they've had yet. And I say that simply because Fiala isn't scoring at the level he should be at. Kirill is generating a lot of assists, but still isn't scoring a ton of goals necessarily.
Doesn't that make them more dangerous, though?
I think
they're leading the NHL in goals, and those guys have barely joined the party.
Yeah. And I think if there's a sleeping dragon to be awoken with those two guys, and even someone like Matthew Boldy, who's playing well in Iowa, Marco Rossi's off to a hot start. Your top two prospects are basically looking like they're ready to being plugged and played into the big club right now with how they're playing in the AHL. But you need your top players to score big goals. You just need them to. And right now, Fiala and Kaprizov analytically look great, and they're getting robbed on chances, that's for sure. But you need those two guys to also wake up. If those two guys start scoring at the same pace that Hartman's and Foligno's and everyone else's, then yes, it is the most dangerous team. But I think it's the deepest. I'm still waiting to see if it's the most dangerous.
The problem is who challenges them, though? Like, past teams. Like, I can't think of one. Like,
like 20 years of wild hockey isn't, like, littered with explosive
offenses.
No, Gabrick
could score. But Kaprizov is so, like, the Kaprizov thing is intriguing because he got off to a slow start, but he's still a superior player to the vast majority of players in franchise history. And so, yeah, no. And the thing, too, is if you watch this team play, I think for like the last 2 years or so, they've been aggressive about allowing their defensemen freedom to jump into plays. But now it's crazy. Like, it's fun now. Last night, the first goal, which is scored by Ek, the defenseman tried to bank the puck off the near boards in his zone, and it didn't have a true bounce. And so Ek intercepted it, and Kulikov, of all people, comes flying down the slot and is screaming because gets the puck, gets a shot, rebound to Ek, who scores. Like, that's the type of opportunistic play that if you made with Jacques, he would have freaked out and benched you, probably.
Can I say that Kulikov is one of the best hockey names? It feels like a creative player on NHL 95 or something.
You like that?
That's a great
name.
Kulikov. Dmitry Kulikov.
All right. Observation number two here. Okay, Hockey Whisperer. Sounds like there was a little bit of debate there. Like, Jeff maybe thinks the Hockey Whisperer is right. Declan feels like it's a little aggressive, wants to see more.
I liked it.
Okay. Observation number two, quite simply, Dean Evason must be doing something right in his 2+ years. So, did you guys know of all of the active coaches in the NHL right now, Dean Evason has the highest point percentage?
Mm-hmm.
Now, asterisk, he's only coached like 90 games. You know, guys like John Cooper have coached 600 games. So, a little bit of a small sample size alert there. But, I mean, yeah, even if there's some regression, like, he's, and the roster's good, but he's clearly pushing the right buttons. He clearly has a command of the room, so to speak. So he must be doing some things right, is what the Hockey Whisperer observes.
I think Dino, we were a little surprised when the season got paused in 2020 because of COVID, and then when the bubble came back, when the Wild were going to be part of that, that I believe it was just a week or so before practices started again, that they removed the interim label and slapped on a two-year contract immediately onto Dean Evason. And I think Judd had more questions than I did about how, well, that seems a little sudden. Like, why not just keep the interim label? There's no point. You're going to this bubble situation. It's a three-game situation, worst-case scenario. Why don't you go vet and find the process? But instead, they just gave a two-year contract to Dean Evason, and it looks like Dean is pushing all the right buttons. I mean, he has definitely exceeded my expectations of what he is as a head coach. I would actually, because he signed that two-year extension, this is the last year of his contract. He's not under contract, I believe, for next season yet. So I bet a contract extension is probably coming in the works for Dean Evason. But hockey coaches are also volatile. Like, one year, guys look great. Next year, they're getting fired. So in general, I think Dean is doing a hell of a job. Him and Bill Guerin seem to kind of have a handcuff of this team of, this is what we want from our players.
Can I explore the space here? Because I would like to point out as well.
You're, I mean, your name's on the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's half your
Whisperer.
Show.
Do what you got.
And it's your favorite sport, but it's fine.
Whisperer, I would like to point out here, too, that what we are seeing at the X in St. Paul, and I know it's across from, you know, it's across the river. There's a rivalry here. But I think the people who run the Vikings should take a long, hard look at the relationship between Bill Guerin and his head coach. This is what happens when you have two people on the same page completely. And Bill Guerin, to his credit, did not hire Dean. Paul Fenton did. And that's why I was surprised, because I'm like, do you know enough about Dean at this point to promote him? Clearly Bill did. So that's the right move. But second of all, the most important thing right now is it is just so crystal clear that the GM and head coach are in lockstep, that they are on the same page every day, that when it comes to every player, and I'm sure they debate things, so I'm not saying that it's perfect, but it feels like every decision that's made is made in unison of, this is what's going to be best for us to win games, not, well, I'd like more defense. Yeah, but I mean, we really should go sign a guard. I don't. I just plug a guy in there. Not that.
Or I got to defer to, right, you know, these four veteran players, but who want to practice in Edina or whatever the hell.
Right.
Crap.
But look at this team right now, and look at how it's run. And it's not that it's full of star players, but it's, the chemistry's really good, and it feels like everything from the top on down is working in sync.
Mm-hmm.
And far too often, we don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the real important thing here, that it's not just Dean. It's not like, well, Dean's great. No, Bill and Dean together are doing the exact job that any fan base should desire from a GM and coach.
Yeah. Yeah, that's those are all fair points. And I, you know, it helps, obviously, you know, like, to take over a roster with talent like Kaprizov and,
absolutely,
you know, some of these dudes, like, it helps jack your winning percentage up. But
to Dex's point, Fiala's not scoring, and you're still scoring a ton.
Yeah.
And, you know, tied atop the conference. That's pretty damn impressive.
All right. The third observation, it's I wouldn't go as far as calling it a concern, but the Hockey Whisperer wonders a little about goaltending.
Yep.
He wonders a little about goaltending here, that Cam Talbot's just kind of a guy.
He honed, Dex. He's honed today.
And I think the worry would be, first of all, he basically spots opposing teams like two or three goals a night. You know, like, he's not shutting anyone out. Very rarely is he allowing anything less than two goals, right? So you got to score four or five goals to feel like, okay, you're for sure going to win. And I think the question would be, you know, are there teams in the Western Conference that are going to want to play, let's say, muddier hockey, or they want to play a 2-1 game in a 7-game series, and can Cam Talbot make 34 saves on 36 shots or something and win a game 3-2 or 2-1 four times in a playoff series? That's the wonder. You get into the right series and you get against the right opponent, they can shut down your offense from scoring five goals because it's less loosey-goosey in the playoffs. So he's not concerned because the overall team is playing slow, but he wonders a little about goaltending.
So I think the concern is legit. Like, I agree completely.
It's not a concern. He's wondering. He's wondering about
goaltending. I think broaching a topic of concern, I'll rephrase. I think bringing
he's
up a
curious.
Topic that clearly shows a concern but is masked with a question and a bailout of a guy who doesn't.
He just wants a little
I
more
think
information.
The whisper is being very, very fair. Now I'll say a couple things to that and then turn it to Dex because he's got some great stats about this. But keep in mind, Cam in the playoffs last year against the Golden Knights was not the problem. He played pretty damn well. Mm-hmm. I think he had a couple of shutouts. And is Cam Talbot the be-all, end-all goaltender? Absolutely not. Is he a consistent liability? No. The game has also changed now where offense is back enough that I don't think you're going to see – like, you'll see tight games, but I don't think you'll see the consistent old-school 2003 – couldn't get one by Jiggy because his pads are so big and his jersey's dangling below his legs.
Jiggy.
So I don't have, like, a great concern, but do I think, as I put it to Dex on Judd's Hockey Show last night, do I think that the Wild's front office is in love with Talbot? No. Do I think they like him? Yes. The backup goaltender also is probably more, or not probably, is a concern. But Dex, I'll defer to you. Your thoughts on the Whisperer's question?
Yeah.
Question about yeah. Cam Talbot.
Observation?
Observation. It's a concern.
Hypothesis?
It's a
you know,
legit
I think,
point on the Whisperer.
I think Cam Talbot over the last few weeks looks a lot better. He got off to kind of a slow start. It's kind of like starting pitchers that allow a lot of runs but get wins. Right, like he's got a
he's
lot
like
of wins.
Jack Morris in the 80s. Yeah. Like he pitches to the score, is what you're saying.
Like when
a 5 ERA, but 20 wins.
Like when Kevin Slowey and Glenn Perkins first came up, and we're like 8-2, but at ERAs of near 5, like in 2008. Right?
What are you dragging Glenn Perkins' name?
Hey,
to?
I like Perk.
Friend of the show.
All
star
oh,
closer.
Come on,
Just like out of nowhere, we're talking hockey here, and you just drag a friend of the show, Glenn Perkins.
That's like Boone. Wounded guard for the Vikings. It wasn't as good
what
as
does he know? So Talbot, so far this season through 17 games, and this is a metric that's a good one, is goals saved above expected. So this basically takes league average shots and translates it to can a goalie stop a league average shot from a normal location? And for the majority of the season, Cam Talbot was negative in this statistic, meaning he was allowing goals from areas that he should not be allowing that an average goalie should stop. Now through 17 games, he's above zero, which means he's stopping all the pucks he should be stopping. Should that number be higher if you want more belief that he can be someone that can steal you more games? Yes, you do want that number to be higher. My bigger fear is that they basically burn out Cam Talbot. It's a situation like he was in Edmonton where I believe he finished fourth for Vezina that year, but he had like 71 starts. By the time they got to the playoffs, the Oilers were they got burned out. Like Cam played 71 games, he got absolutely burned out. Kaapo Kähkönen has looked better. I had fears that he was a legitimate goaltender going into the season. He's looked fine, but I don't know if that's someone that you can also rely on to give you 25, 30 starts, which is about that split you would want, because you need two goaltenders to at least get you to the playoffs. Like if Kaapo has to start multiple playoff games, well, things went wrong. Things are probably not going according to plan. But you need two goaltenders to basically have like a 50-30 split, even maybe 55-35 split, because that's kind of the area you want to be in if
I think
if,
your
if
math
you're
is a little off.
45-35. Yeah, I understand that where I was there. St. Cloud State, go Huskies. But that's the point, though. Like, you can't have a goaltender starting 60 to 70 games, because outside of that, then you're going to get into situations where that's bad.
And maybe you can – that's the thing. Is there a backup – that you can snag before the deadline to get you 10 starts down the stretch or
that's
something?
That's what I'm thinking now. A veteran. I think if these guys are in as good a shape as they are right now, I'm not going to be surprised if they trade for a veteran who's not a starter now but is a former starter and that they can lean on. Because if this league goes and takes the break and goes to the Olympic Games, which they shouldn't do, but they still might do. Look at that schedule in March. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Like back-to-backs and stuff?
Back-to-back. You cannot have one. Like you can't have a 1-2. At that point, it's got to be a 1A, 1B. So I think that that's probably right. I wouldn't be one bit surprised if they trade for a goaltender on a short-term deal who was a starter and is now a backup but can play reliably behind Talbot. That won't shock me.
Observation number four here from the Hockey Whisperer, the final observation today. Mikko Koivu now gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me direct you guys to The Athletic this morning. We're just going to read a couple paragraphs here. After the playoff bubble 2 summers ago, when the Wild were quickly dispatched by the Canucks, Bill Guerin didn't mince words when he publicly proclaimed, quote, "There definitely have to be changes. We haven't had success here." Real quick side note there. I love that the GM is looking at a playoff team and saying, "We haven't had success," because his definition of success isn't making the playoffs for like 7 years.
Yeah.
It's why haven't we been to a conference final? Why haven't we been to a cup? Why haven't we hoisted a cup? We are the state of hockey. It's been
Rick, are you
years.
Listening, Rick? Rick, Bell hello, Rick?
High bar, high expectations. All right, back into the article. Yep. Guerin then methodically yet in remarkably quick fashion changed out the old guard. Koivu, gone. Stahl, Dubnyk, Parisi, Suter, gone. At the time, Koivu was stung. Guerin hasn't hidden the fact that the Wild desperately needed a culture change, and fair or not, the man who most represented that culture was the steely blue-eyed, blonde, thin Koivu with the captain's C stitched to his chest. Quote from Koivu, "It was very hard at the time. It was obviously emotional getting let go. But once you get a couple weeks in, a couple months in, then I had a chance to talk with Bill after. Then you start to realize why they have to make those tough decisions." And now he sees the product on the ice. Yeah. And so, I just think he gets it now. He kind of sort of sees what Bill Guerin saw 18 months ago.
The only frustrating thing is Phil, when did we start our show?
2014. Or the, like, January, February.
What would be the first year when you would say that your partner started to get it?
And 2008.
Say, and started to say exactly what Bill Guerin saw.
Like 2006. And Koivu's first year.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So, no, but I mean, it was probably, what, 17, 18 where it started to go
a
little bit?
And many
years it's ago. Like, this is ridiculous. But this is why, for all of the fans who are like, "Oh, the captaincy, who cares? Just leave it on Koivu. He's fine." No, it's not fine. Again, as you say, Phil, a gravitational pull towards mediocrity.
Yeah.
It's a gravitational pull, and the people who are in the eye of the storm can't see it.
I know.
They can't. It's impossible. So, like, Koivu and Parisian, they were all running the show. Times were good, man. Times were good. They were getting special treatment. It takes someone to come in and be like, "This isn't right. This doesn't seem right." Captaincies have to be stripped. I also think from an organizational standpoint, that's why it's a mistake to retire his number. It's all about greatness. I guarantee you the hockey ops department, the current one of this team, is going along with the PR move of, "Well, Koivu played here a long time. He's popular, and March 13th, we're going to sell out. Oh, this is going to be great. We're going to sell out to raise that number."
That's part of it. Yeah.
But retiring the number 9 continues the organizational philosophy that's been there far too long of a country club of pulling towards good enough. This is why you create, and I'll give the Vikings credit here. This is why you create Ring of Honors.
Yes,
because it's great to recognize those, but retiring Koivu's number and it's 9, which in this sport is hockey royalty, is a clear sign that organizationally they still don't get it. Now I think Bill Guerin gets it. I think Dean does, and I think the people who are running hockey ops do. But this is what we fight against every day here on this show. This is what we have been struggling. And so many people are like, "Well, yeah, you guys, it's fine. You're so negative." I got called the most negative person among people ever on Twitter yesterday.
It's amazing how, like, setting high expectations
is negative.
Is viewed as being negative.
But, like, all of these
it's
people
the
are still like,
exact opposite.
Koivu deserves this. No, he deserves a day and a night, and that's awesome. He deserves to be recognized. Retiring a number is basically ascending to the heaven of your sports teams. How many people deserve to ascend? Very, very few, and only the greatest. And just because 20 years in, you've had nobody who qualifies, that doesn't mean we have to do it. Set a bar of greatness. And even if you don't achieve it, set the bar there so you can attempt to achieve it.
Is there like a Wild or Minnesota Hockey Hall of Fame? Because, like, I agree with you. Retiring someone's jersey is, like, to me, that's championship. Like, if you helped the team win championships or you were a Hall of Fame caliber player in your sport, okay, let's hang the jersey number. But if you're Michael Kadire, and you were just, like, a really
so
good...
funny. I just thought of the same name.
Yeah, like he's Michael.
Great guy.
Michael Kadire was a really good 10-year twin, and yep. Koivu was with the Wild for longer than that. Just a rock solid player. Kadire yep. went to one All-Star game. Just a 20 home runs. Didn't really, do anything meaningful, and like didn't win a World Series or anything.
That's so funny.
Dumb question. Has Mikko Koivu's been to an All-Star game? Hasn't he? Has he been to an All-Star game?
I saw a tweet that said he hadn't. I don't think he has. Let's look that up quick.
Never made an All-Star game. Never was, like, I think it was a finalist 1 year for Selke. I don't even know if he was a Selke. Was he a Selke finalist once?
No, hell no.
Yeah. He was never a finalist for a major award.
He was good
award.
Enough. He was really good, but the Selke goes, again, he's not an elite player.
No. Okay. Looks like he made an All-Star team in 2008-09.
Yes.
And didn't play.
Yeah, he didn't.
So he was.
He's a good player. He's a very good player.
And so he was, in terms of Selke.
Once.
He was a finalist.
So finalist is top three, right?
Yes.
Yep.
He was a finalist in 16-17.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
it. He's a very good player.
They need
player.
Like a ring of honor or something.
Yeah.
And the problem, too, is, and this is not his fault, but the reality is the number nine in hockey is one of the most exclusive, greatest. It's like Gordie Howe Award, okay? It is the equivalent of the number three in baseball. Killebrew, Ruth. You're basically taking out of circulation a number that should go to one of your greatest players, and that guy is yet to come, which, by the way, is life. That's
why do Minnesota sports fans glum on to mediocrity?
I don't know.
Because it's all we're used to, and we accept it.
Yeah.
Because it's all we're used to, for the most part.
Oh, shucks. We're happy to be
here.
Because
we want something to celebrate.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really good question. I'm just spitballing.
Like I told you guys before we jumped on for the show here, and we will get to write that down predictions here shortly when we admit that we were wrong.
You inflame my passions, though, right now.
And it's like someone – I have probably had 1,000 tweets like this week since the Vikings lost on Sunday because – been hard on Kirk. Kirk played like garbage in the second half. Like, the season doesn't end on a win against Green Bay. Let's go. Let's keep the train moving, dude. Don't melt down. Don't throw a bad interception. Don't line up behind the right guard. And The Athletic has a couple great articles, too, about just, like, he's been better in the clutch this year. But overall, throughout his career and his time with the Vikings, his numbers are and the team's performance in, like, two-minute drills at the end of the game are not good. And so I just retweeted the article from Chad Graff and Arif Hassan. Interesting stuff here on Cousins. And the response that's getting the most traction, here's some more interesting stuff on Kirk Cousins. Game-winning drives since 2015. Cousins, 18. Brady, 14. Fourth quarter comeback since 2015. Cousins, 12. Brady, 12. Okay.
Yep.
I think you're missing. You might be missing one key stat between Kirk Cousins and Tom Brady.
Right.
Just one. Well, rings. How about trips to your conference final, to the AFC or NFC conference championship?
But why do we think?
Why are we celebrating that?
But why do we also have this default position of, because nobody's saying Kirk is bad. We're saying this is disappointing. Why is the default fight basically saying Phil Mackey is saying that Kirk sucks, or Judd is saying that Koivu sucks? I'm not saying that. He was a good player. That doesn't mean that you rise to your jersey number going to the rafters. That doesn't mean that Kirk gets a free pass for Sunday's game. Like, that's what we're saying. We expect more. Why is expecting more a problem?
It's weird, dude.
That it seems is, to be the that.
I almost
that's
feel like it's
question.
Like a Midwestern modesty
yes.
thing.
Yes,
it's
exactly
like
what it is.
We're afraid to set a high bar because it's arrogant or something.
Yes.
Like,
we,
only those coastal elites set high bars. Like, you know, we are stoic
but then we
Scandinavian complain. People that just shovel crap into our mouth with these sports teams.
But then
and
we
take
complain
it.
About our sports teams as an entity not achieving greatness. Like, well, they, you know, the Vikings won't win a championship again. Well, no, they're not going to win a championship because the formula is not right. Yeah.
If you're like to your point about Koivu, and then we can get to write that down. It's not. There should be no reason to crap on Koivu. Like he
Correct.
Was a really good Wild player for 15 years. Yeah, I wish he would have scored a couple more goals here and there. Yeah, could he have been a better leader? Yeah, there's things to nitpick, but he was a really good player. Mm-hmm. You bring it on yourselves. If your franchise genuinely had a championship mindset and a championship drive and everything, which by the way, I think it's funny because I think as they're raising the Mikko Koivu jersey into the rafters, I do think they are building more of a championship. Bill Guerin knows what it looks like. And so I do think they are building it off of the side here. But it's like if you're all about championships, you would probably not hang the jersey of a guy that went to one All-Star game and finished with his positional major award as a finalist once in 15 years, right?
Correct.
No.
Well, my personal opinion is this. If you are going to have your jersey retired, one of two things or both have to have occurred. One, you are a Hall of Fame player. So like you are going into or you are in that team's hall. Or I'm sorry, you're in that sports hall. The second one is if you won a championship. Herbeck. Herbeck is to me a perfect example of great player. He's not going to Cooperstown, but he won two World Series. I personally think Maurer is a Hall of Fame catcher. If you just meet the criteria of I worked here a long time and I was a good, I mean, that would be like me being inducted into the Star Tribune Hall. Well, Judd worked here a long time.
You broke some big stories, though.
I think I won some faceoffs. I don't deserve to be in the Star Tribune Hall of Fame. I just don't. Like, it's that's not in the cards, and it's not right.
Now, the
like,
Judd's Hockey Show Hall of Fame.
That's a different story.
Well, that's because of Declan.
Yeah.
That's because of Dex.
Yeah, you're welcome,
Patrick
Score.
But I don't think it's a dig against a guy to say, or a person to say, they shouldn't get the ultimate honor. Look, the Wolves, right? Tragically, Malik Sealy died. And I think it's appropriate then to do something special. That's totally different. Corey Stringer, same thing, right? So I totally get that. But Garnett's 21 should be retired. But they haven't forced other jerseys up there. Like they're not trying to be like, well, Sam Mitchell did a lot for us. He played here a long time, two stints.
I mean, the Wolves probably do need to put someone's jersey up there at some point, right?
But it's just Garnett's. I'm more with the Wolves on make it right. Garnett deserves it, and it's really sad that 21 is not up there.
Corey Brewer, he scored 50 one time
against the Rockets, big game.
Put it up there.
But anyway, yeah, it's frustrating because people always hear. Mackey and Judd and Declan think players are bad. It's not what we're saying. We're saying achieve greatness.
I think there's something to be said, too, about like Minnesota Nice. And if you go anywhere else in the country, the South, West Coast, East Coast, wherever, you'll find that Minnesota Nice in the most blatant term is a bunch of BS. It's fake nice. It's phony. It's not legitimate.
Sometimes it's insecurity.
Authentic. Yeah, it's not authentic, I think is probably the best way I can say it. It's not authentic.
Mm-hmm. Insincere,
We'll give you directions to anywhere that's not our own home because we don't want to inconvenience ourselves.
Like, neighborhood. I don't want you to
right.
be in my
trust
house.
You. I don't
right.
trust you.
Yeah, it's
I don't.
Stay away.
No.
Stay
it's
away.
Fake.
Can't yeah, but, but it's perfect because it keeps people away while thinking they're close. I actually enjoy that part
yeah,
of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you're the epitome of it. That's Minnesota Nice.
Yeah, right. How are you doing?
You want to help
on?
Them out, but really, like,
how's your
do
day
not
going?
Talk to me. I don't want to deal with you. When you can just say, don't talk to me. I don't want to deal with you.
Nah, but then you come off like a
normal, real person instead of being fake.
Yeah, people know. Now you're just being fake and they know.
Yeah.
Own it.
Set a high bar. Because when I walk by you and ask, how are things going? I'm not going to wait for a response, and I don't give you a chance to talk to me.
Hello. It's the Judd. I love the Judd. Hello. When he walks by someone.
How are you doing?
He's worked here for 7 years and doesn't know their name.
What's going on? Yeah, I don't know their names. And you know what's not important? It's not important. You're a coworker.
It's hilarious. All right, we gotta admit that we were wrong here.
Okay.
Coming up next on Write That Down, Mackie and Judd.
Most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
Mm. So much drama. Less than a month to go in the Write That Down season. Judd trying to dust himself off after like a 3-month slump, trying to catch Declan.
Incredible.
You know, I'm not that far behind, like 50 points behind you guys going into the week here.
No one's dismissing you.
Mm. It's okay. Dismiss me at your own peril.
Declan just did. Declan just dismissed Phil.
Maybe I'll start picking bowl games like Jonathan Harrison, the great Jonathan Harrison comeback from 2019. He was batting like 205 going into the last couple weeks. He's like, can I predict all the bowl games and just give you guys a spreadsheet? We're like, whatever. You're like 150 points behind. Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. He came back and won.
He was juicing.
Write That Down version of juicing.
Trash can banging. Write That Down.
Yeah, he knew fastballs.
Do whatever you want. That's no problem. Go ahead and cheat.
Yeah, have a buzzer taped to your chest. So here's how it works. 3 predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs for predictions that go above and beyond. And if you guys want to participate, you want to be a guest listener predictor, send us a message through the Score North app. There's a feedback tab at the bottom. You can tap it and send us a message. That's also where we collect messages and questions and criticisms, whatever, for the Friday feedback show, Feedback Friday, here on Mackie and Judd. So, boys, let's get into the accountability session. This is where we admit that we were wrong every single week, presented by Federated Mutual Insurance Company, where they've been helping business owners for over 100 years. They're based in Owatonna. They are one of us, and they have all sorts of great resources and people to help protect your business, risk management, employee protection, make sure you've got the right pandemic response plan, which is still happening in this country almost 2 years in. So check it out, federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. Busy week for Judd. A little bit of a mixed bag here. Overall, I think you'll take it. So let's start with the bad. You said Royce's turkey of the year will be baseball related. It was not. It's basketball related. You said the Gophers will lose to the Badgers, and Tanner Morgan will throw 2 or more interceptions, which is kind of weird because you made like basically the opposite prediction.
That this one's older, Purple Daily. Right? I feel like a Purple Daily one was last week. I made the prediction.
Yeah,
I feel like that one was dated more.
You said by December 1st, Sam Darnold will be benched and not start a game within the next month. So like. You said this in the beginning part of November.
Yeah.
So he was not benched. He was hurt and put on injured reserve. It's a tough break because he was terrible. Probably would have been benched if not for an injury. You said Morgan will be benched as the Gophers quarterback this season.
Well, this actually was right. It didn't happen, but it was right.
He should have been benched.
Like, I was right. Fleck was wrong. Row that boat.
You did say Buxton will not be traded this winter. I think that's going to be tough at this point.
7 more years.
Twins just announced it, by the way, 7-year contract extension. You said the Twins will make a reported contract offer to Buxton before the season begins, which is the most ridiculous bunt ever.
Yeah.
I don't
like,
care.
Of course
I don't
they
give,
were going to make an offer.
I don't give a rat's patootie how I get a hit these days.
Right. And you said Mike Sanford will be out as Gophers offensive coordinator during or after the 2021 season.
See, Fleck got one thing right for me. He could have gotten 2.
Yeah, but he probably shouldn't have hired the guy in the first place with his track record. And I'm glad they figured it out 2 years later. But really this team could have gone 10-2.
Oh!
Old Macadac. Old Macadac coming in hot here. All
Declan
right,
dismissed you.
We'll start with the bad. I said neither the Wolves or Heat will score 100 in their matchup. It was a grinded game, but they both went over 100. I said Buxton will win Turkey of the Year. He sat at the table. He did not win. But I did say the Gophers would beat Wisconsin and take the X. I said between November 17th and December 1st, Doogie will report the Twins were not interested or in the mix on three or more starting pitchers that signed elsewhere. My tally is at least 5, just going through his Twitter account.
Okay.
And also Declan found a clip from The Scoop that I think we're going to play here in a little bit that pertains to one of your predictions. Doogie definitely, like the day after I sent this prediction out, he had two of them on Twitter, and then there was two or three more too. So Byron Buxton will agree to a contract extension before the beginning of the season. So three correct predictions.
That's pretty good, Macadac.
All right, the listeners. Jason said Trey Lance will be involved in a play that results in a touchdown against the Vikings. Earl said Zimmer will be a former coach of the Vikings by December 1st. Chad said Kaprizov will record a hat trick by the end of November. Craig said the Gophers will win the Big Ten West, and so did Dustin. They're both wrong.
Oh, boy.
But Zach said Gophers men's basketball will win their next two games against IPFW and Jacksonville, and Gophers football, heavily favored, would beat Indiana. Okay, ordinarily, for a three-item parlay, we give home runs. This was like, all three of these were such heavy favorites that I don't know that this rises to
if it had been Wisconsin for football, then definitely,
yes.
I would say. But yeah, the Hoosiers are awful, and those two wins. Yeah, if he had said Gopher basketball would beat Pittsburgh last night, which they did, I would also be inclined to give him a home run, but I think you're right.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Deck, you agree?
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. That's fine.
And then Declan's brother Liam said by December 31st, 2021, Declan will be in a Facebook official relationship. The avatar has changed.
Okay.
And we're going to call that Facebook official.
Okay, that's Declan. Fair. That's fair. I mean, the relationship status has not been updated on Facebook from either party.
Yeah, but you changed the profile
but the avatar
picture.
Counts. No, I'll listen to it. I'm not fighting it. I agree. That's fine with me. Liam was right. A couple hits for Liam on my love.
Cutting it kind of close there.
I'm not saying a word after last week's
debacle.
Jed, you want to use the word again here in any context?
I'm not.
Really appreciated that, by the way. The mom. Kelly Pipes really appreciated that. So
the in-laws.
Yeah.
Appreciated what? My comment?
Your comment. Yeah, she really appreciated it. How many girlfriends has he had is what was said.
The sad thing is her mom is probably younger than me. That's the scary thing.
She's about your age, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably looks a lot younger than you, though.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure she's much. I'm zero debate on that.
Speaking of big weeks for Declan, here's Declan's predictions. Well, we'll start with the red here just to get this off the board. You said the Yankees or Mets will have reported interest in Buxton.
Yeah.
I don't think that happened.
No.
They were not looking to shop him. Greenway will be a healthy scratch at some point before December 1st. I don't think he has been.
No, he hasn't. He was trending, but no.
Erickson Eck will be the first Wild player to reach double-digit goals. It was Hartman. And the Twins will sign Robbie Ray. However, you said Mikko Koivu's number 9 will not be raised to the rafters at the X in 2021. It is scheduled for 2022.
Wow. Phrasing.
Nice.
Phrasing. You're getting it down here.
I'm getting it.
Getting it down. You said the Wild and Wolves will play 8 games between now and next week's. Write that down. They will combine for at least 4 wins. Well, the Wild had 4 on their own, and the Wolves had a couple big
7
ones.
And 1. There was only one loss, and it was the Wolves to the Hornets.
Damn right. You said there'll be a credible report that the Twins are interested in free agent pitcher Marcus Stroman. Do you want to play the accompanying evidence here?
Yeah, okay. Let's play the clip from Scoop Podcast yesterday.
Any names that you can attach to this?
Well, I mean, I would say look at any list of remaining free agent starters. And of those names, the Twins have at least inquired on 85 to 90%. Kikuchi, you know, the Mariners free agent, Rodon, the White Sox free agent. There has been a conversation on Stroman, the Mets free agent. I would say those three maybe are three of the better guys remaining. They did inquire on Robbie Ray before he agreed to terms on Monday with the Seattle Mariners.
There it is.
So I pushed
Darren
it.
Doogie Wolfson.
You did.
So I got the answer.
I like the perk up by me as I was like half paying attention. And, wait. I heard Marcus Stroman. What?
My prying.
Right. And then Declan predicted when the Wolves were several games below 500 that they would be at least 500 by December 1st. I think that's a home run.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, they literally had to roll off like six wins in seven games and beat the Sixers on the road and stuff to make that happen.
Agree completely.
And they are 500. So a big week for Declan. Oh, he's sitting at 357, which leads the league with five home runs. Judd's at 338 with six home runs. I'm at 308, knocking on the door, with four home runs. And the listeners who have a league-leading eight home runs are sitting at 277. So
write this down.
There
Mackadak,
we have it, boys.
Mackadak is
old
coming.
Old Mackadak.
Don't sleep
on
my
cowboy bleak.
Declan right. did sleep on you and see what's happening. You are creeping up.
So we've got guest listener Steven who has sent in his predictions via satellite. So we'll go Steven, Judd, Declan, and then back to me, Phil Mackey. So Steven, let's hear from him first. What's his first prediction?
What's good, Mackey, Judd, and Declan? I'm a huge fan of all the shows you guys do on Score North and Purple Daily. And thank you for inviting me to be on the Write That Down Wednesday. My name is Steven. I've been a huge Minnesota sports fan my whole life. But my number one team that I'm diehard for is the Vikings, and it's to the point where I do the skull chant everywhere I go in the world, like as a personal tradition. So, thank you guys for delivering all of that content. I appreciate it, and I love listening to you guys. So, for Write That Down, so it's December 1st. I'm in the holiday spirits, or as I say, the skull-a-day spirits. So I got three optimistic/positive Write That Downs for the month of December, two for the Vikings and one for Minnesota sports. So the first one, write this down. Justin Jefferson will go over 100 yards receiving for each game for the rest of the season as long as he stays healthy.
Woo!
Write this down.
He should, but that's definitely a home run
that's
if
a
it happens.
Humongous.
Right?
Yeah, it's a great home run.
Oh, yeah, that's a
What are there, seven games?
Take measure shot.
Six games left? I mean, yeah.
Six
that's,
games left.
That's,
six games left? Yeah. That would be bonkers. And he should. He should just be getting fed the ball. So I like Steven's positivity there. All right, Judd, what's your first prediction?
All right, I'm going to spin this a little more towards, and I know it's going to shock you guys, to the negative side. Write this down. Mm. There will be no MLB games played in April or May of this season. There will at least be 2 months. April and May will be no Major League Baseball games because of the lockout.
They need to get their bleep together. Yeah, there's so many things that they could be doing to help the game.
Yeah,
so many obvious things. And by the way, they're seeing a glimpse of it. Like creating some structure and a deadline of some kind is bringing you the most fun free agency week of our lives,
which they did by accident, which is by a total fluke. But yeah, it's great. But and they also need to come back with the. With a pitch clock, with probably a DH in both leagues, as much as I personally don't like that, it's going to happen. So just do it.
Write this down.
All right, Declan, your first prediction.
All right, my first prediction, just a single here, because I'm just trying to maintain this lead. I want to stranglehold all the way down for the next few weeks to win this batting championship. The Wild are currently in first place in the Central Division, and I will say the Wild will remain in first place in the Central Division by next week's Write That Down.
They're up by 4 points right now, right?
They're up by 4 points. Colorado, like, I don't know. Did Colorado have a COVID situation, Judd? Because they've only played 18 games. So, like, they have four games in hand against the Wild.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that. Yeah. They've had guys out, but they didn't have games called
right.
off, I don't think.
Right. No. So, but I'll say they will remain in first place in the Central Division by next week's Write That Down.
Okay.
First prediction.
Write this down.
All right. I'm curious to see what happens here. Declan's kind of going into shut it down mode for the rest of the year. Someone's going to have to go get him.
Just pulling.
Follow
suit. Jason Tyner, Ben Revere, singles. Just single, single, single.
Yep.
Okay.
Write this down.
All right, write this down. I want to get this on the record now because it's going to come off the board in like the next 14 hours, 12 hours. So today there will be more activity in Major League Baseball. The Twins will not sign anyone to a major league contract today. So tonight, there's going to be a lockout, almost certainly in effect, and then everything's going to be frozen. I think, and all these teams that are making, and congrats the Twins. I like the Buxton signing, but they need pitching. They need more things. The Twins will sit on their hands today, and they will not sign anybody. Write that down. To a major league contract, I should say.
Write this down.
Okay. Back to, what do you guys think? Do you think the Twins will do something funky here?
I think they'll do something. Personally, I think they'll do something.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not, but I don't think it'll.
I think someone gets added to the 40-man roster, so they're going to sign someone.
They claimed a pitcher off, waivers from the Cubs yesterday, and then they didn't offer him a contract?
Okay, can I, because you're right about this, I want to amend this real quick.
Okay.
Because they've got, if they sign, someone for $800,000 that's a middle reliever, I don't want, what I want this prediction to be is a significant player. So I will say of $5 million or more in average annual value.
$5 million. Okay, I got that.
Okay. If they bring in some Slappy or something. Then...
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Jeez.
I love Slappy.
All right, back to guest listener predictor Steven via satellite.
All right, so for my second prediction, we all know that the playoff race is set to get crazy in the month of December with all these teams being so close and vying for these playoff spots. But, I'm optimistic during the Skoladay season, like I said. So write this down. The Minnesota Vikings will have a win and in scenario in either week 17 or week 18. And this could be for any seed.
I like it.
Okay.
It would be fun if that Packers game at Lambeau meant something.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to mean the division at this
point. And it won't mean a thing to the Packers, so they would probably, right? Because that's two games left?
It could mean home field.
There's not two spots. You're right.
Yeah, they're definitely playing for that first one by. Give Aaron Rodgers Toa
an
extra week of rest. Okay, Judd, your second prediction?
So Dex predicted that the Wild will be in first place in the Central Division come next week.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to predict this then. The Wild will beat the Devils on Thursday night.
Okay.
The Wild will beat the Devils. In part of their crusade to stay in first place, the Wild will beat the New Jersey Devils.
This is a game of just you guys just soft tossing back and forth here. Nobody wants to take a big swing. I find it kind of cowardly.
It doesn't really pay off to take a big swing right now.
I mean, it's all about what your goals are in life here.
It's true.
Do you want to bat 330?
My goals are to make the playoffs.
Do you want to hit bombs?
I grew up here. My goals are to make the playoffs.
Okay.
All right, Declan. What's your next bunt?
Another. I don't think this one's a bunt. This is a Minnesota Wild prediction. After being snake bitten, a 4.5 shooting percentage so far this season for Kevin Fiala, despite having a Corsi of 60% and still generating a ton of shots. So I'm going to say a beast is going to get awoken here in Kevin Fiala. And Kevin Fiala will score at least 7 goals in the month of December.
Okay.
Kevin Fiala will score at least 7 goals in the month of December.
All right. I actually have a similar prediction about a different player
on
the same team. So right now, Kaprizov is 4th on the team in goals. He's 5 goals behind Ryan Hartman, who has 12. Kaprizov has 7. I want this to be a home run, so you guys are going to have to help me here.
Okay.
By the end of December, Kaprizov will lead the Wild in goals scored. So he will jump over 3 other players and close the 5-goal gap on red-hot Ryan Hartman by the end of December. He will lead the Wild in goals.
Yeah, I think that's a home run. Yeah, that's a home run.
Okay.
That's a home run.
I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Like if it was by the end of the year, he's probably going to lead
a little bit of the year.
It's a home run. This is a home run.
He's gonna get red-hot here.
Write this down.
All right. And that brings us back to Steven, his third and final prediction via satellite.
My third and final prediction, it's about celebrating the Skoladay season with more wins than losses. And this could be seen as a challenge, these 3 teams. So here it is. Write this down. The Minnesota Wild, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Minnesota Vikings will all finish the month of December with winning records. Yes, that means above 500. So by January 1st, 2022, if they all don't have winning records, this could be seen as an L. But I personally am optimistic. I'm an optimistic person. I believe they can do it. They all have the talent to. They just got to go out and execute. So, easier said than done, but I don't think it's a big ask. Let's make it happen. Let's end 2021 on a winning note. And let's go into 2022 and winning some more. So, thank you guys for having me on. Those are my three write that down predictions. I just want to give you all a skull before I go. Skull, Mackie! Skull, Judd! Skull, Declan! So, yeah, thanks again, guys. Look forward to seeing your content in the future.
That was awesome.
Really good.
Steven. Bravo, Steven.
That's a home run.
Optimistic Steven. Yeah, that's a home run.
That's a home run.
It's parlay.
All three of them above 500.
I mean, the Wild should be above. And he's saying their overall record, right? Not their record in the month of December.
Overall record.
Correct.
The Wolves are going to be playing a lot of playoff teams. The Vikings are under 500 right now. So, yeah, I think that's fair. So, good stuff from guest listener predictor Steven.
Write this down.
Judd.
All right, my final write that down prediction. The National Hockey League will not go to the Olympics in February. They're supposed to, but with COVID concerns with teams because of COVID, already two teams shutting down for X amount of games, the NHL will back out of the Olympics.
Okay.
Write this down.
I might have a follow-up prediction to that, but we'll go to Dex here for his third prediction.
I will say this. I'll do a Jaden McDaniels prediction. Because I haven't done much of my guy, Jaden McDaniels, has been a little bit quiet this season. And I believe he is still battling that flu bug illness that is now all over the Wolves. Because I believe Anthony Edwards is also questionable with that same illness for this next game. But I will say Jaden McDaniels will score in double digits between now and next week's Write That Down. So J-Mac, I believe, only has like four games of double-digit scoring this season. So I'll say between now and next week's Write That Down, Jaden McDaniels will have a double-digit game.
Yeah, your guy hasn't been – the shine has kind of worn off on your guy.
It has.
It's not quite – there's still some potential there, but he's not –
Second your guy.
He's got to get his act together, man.
He'll be fine. Look at you putting the pressure on.
Okay, write this down. Judd Zolgad will be – I'm going to say sometime between now and – the end of the Olympics, Judd will devote time on Mackie and Judd or Judd's Hockey Show to complaining about the NHL pausing its sport for the Olympics.
It's already happened.
This has happened like five times.
Yeah, and it's going to continue
come
to
off
like,
the
get
board
the
by next
hell
week.
Out. Yeah.
It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
He'll complain again.
Oh,
if you guys
yeah.
can square on to bunt,
yeah.
so can old Macadac.
Yes, I will complain again. They got to get out of that. It's a complete waste of time. It's a bad idea.
I think I just won the prediction right there.
And by the way,
you just complained about
what
it.
The hell?
That's fine. I told you I would.
Hell?
That's fine. I'll give you the point right now because here's why. Here's why.
Yes.
Here's the thing, okay? Just quickly on Twitter, do not tweet me about your negative. This is stupid. Who cares? COVID's the flu. I don't make up the rules. I don't make up the rules. I adhere by the rules. And the rules mean it's impossible to go to the Olympics, okay? Judd Zolgad didn't say COVID. Here are the restrictions. Judd Zolgad is responding to what's going on.
45 seconds between the time that prediction was made for it to come up. That might be the quickest one ever.
This is like the Daniel Bryan Sheamus WrestleMania match from like 9 years ago. Or Daniel Bryan, the bell rings, he gets the brogue kick or whatever it's called. The Claymore? No, the brogue
kick. Brogue kick.
The brogue kick. Yeah. Okay, there it is.
Still got the point. Screw it. Don't tweet me about COVID. I don't make it the COVID rule.
Was it worth it?
Yes, it's definitely worth it. I honestly got a note from a guy yesterday telling me how stupid the rules are. It's like, I don't make up the rules. I'm not Fauci.
Can I add a bonus prediction just because I just had one come off the board there?
Yeah. Why not?
All right. I'll put a home run on the board here. The Patriots and the Buccaneers will play each other in the Super Bowl.
Oh,
Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick is happening. The Bucks versus the Patriots will be your Super Bowl this year.
Oh, my God. What will the ratings for that
be? Oh, my God.
All of the people.
I was going to say.
Every person 100%. In America. Yes.
Write this down.
So thanks to guest listener predictor Steven. Thanks to Judd for giving me the quickest correct prediction in the history of Write That Down.
I'm so done with this thing. Steven, great job, though. Seriously, that was really good.
Yep, that was awesome. If you guys want to participate, you can always hit us up through the Score North app. There's a feedback tab. You can send us messages about really anything. We'll get to them on Feedback Friday. And don't forget Vikings Vent Line right after the Vikings-Lions game. God help us all if they don't win that game. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Mackie and Judd.
This holiday season, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories with the purchase of a Peloton bike, bike plus, or tread. And take your workout to the next level with accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, a heart rate monitor, cycling shoes, and more. Peloton, motivation that moves you. This limited time offer ends December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.